Hello, and welcome to Here's Where It Went Wrong, the podcast where every week we have on one of our favorite comedians to talk about one of their favorite subjects in pop culture, history, and sports, and then we trace its history to find out exactly what ruined it. Andrew, what are we talking about today?
Well, this week we are talking about the legacy of LeBron James, from the decision to the return to his three championship wins to his four MVP wins, and finally where it all went off the rails. I'm excited about this one. I had to learn stuff that I knew nothing about. This was fun for me.
Yeah, the moment the topic came up, and like you were just like, is this something that we could actually do an episode on? And I was like, yeah, I think we have enough to cover an hour about LeBron James.
Look, I have a very easy time researching history. It's the culturally relevant things that challenge me, because it's like, okay, I can get into facts, but I have to understand why this is important. And apparently that's very challenging for me.
Well, today you're going to hear a lot of opinions LeBron James for me.
I'm very much looking forward to it. It was fun to research. I mean, I looked at his history. I looked at the stats. I read a lot of numbers. One of them was 7, I think. So I'm good to go.
Okay, so great. You got the number 7, and we'll figure out later. Guys, keep listening. We're going to figure out where the number 7 apparently comes in all this hard research Andrew's been doing. But anyways, the comedian, though, that chose this great topic, guys, I'm so glad we have him on. He has a comedy album out called Girls Don't Twerk to Jokes, one of my favorite titles I've ever heard. You can watch it on YouTube. You can listen to it on Spotify. He also has a podcast called Clowncast, which is out. And please, if once you're done subscribing to this one, immediately then hop over, subscribe to that one. It's called Clowncast. The very funny Niles Abston. Niles, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on. I feel like this is going to be really fun. So I'm excited.
Oh, this is going to be a great time. This is the best part of my week every week.
Hey, I love it.
So we're very excited about this. Also, I know you and I talked before, your album was so good. I got to work with Niles on Cabin Fever, and the set was, you know, as good as it always is. But this album came, you recorded it before quarantine, but you dropped during quarantine. And from what I've heard, it's been doing amazing. I mean, I've listened to it, of course, and it's incredible.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we dropped it on May 1st. I shot it the day before my birthday on February 15th. So it's just been kind of really fun to have something to put out, because I feel like as like stand-up comics, it's not really something that's so digital. It's something you do at night in sad places with other comedians every night. And so you tell your friends like, I'm funny, I swear I'm funny, and like your family doesn't really know what you do. So like to be able to put out an hour of jokes was really fun, because most people that know me, that was their first time ever seeing me do stand-up, is watching it on YouTube. So like that, and I've gotten like a lot of new people that follow my comedy now just off putting something out. So if there's anything I can encourage comedians to do, is just put some shit out there, you know.
Shows good taste on their part if they're following you now.
Yeah.
It's a good album, guys.
Thank you.
Which, I mean, by the way, for any non-comics listening, like, first album is rarely that great. I mean, this has been doing really well, and for Niles to get the response he has, which is so 100% deserved, please go check it out and listen, because it's incredible. So, yeah, a lot of fun, and congratulations for doing so well, and for all of your friends apparently learning this is what you do and you're good at it.
My friends found out I was funny, so that's good.
Yeah.
And tell us about Clowncast.
Yeah, that's it's been just kind of like a really fun passion project. Me and one of my best friends, Harper Rose Drummond, she's a really funny comedian too. We just figured like our dynamic would be really funny on a podcast. So it's kind of crazy, like some cool things have already kind of happened and opportunities from only doing 8 episodes so far. But we were like gonna wait till the pandemic was over, but who knows when that's gonna happen. So we were just like, let's just do this shit on Zoom and see what happens. And it's been really fun. But yeah, we just kind of talk about things that we did this past week. We make fun of each other, and we like pull up old tweets from each other and ask each other like, what the fuck were you thinking when you said this shit? So yeah, we just have a good time every week, and people are really liking it. So
you're 8 episodes in, but you already got Roy Wood Jr. as one of those 8 episodes, so you're killing it.
That was our first guest. We had to bring in the big guns on the first guest. So I had to call in my favor, so called in Roy. So
yeah, I will say, as people who also started a podcast during the pandemic, it's probably the best time to start a podcast, because the comedians you want on aren't doing anything.
They're not doing shit. It was perfect. Like, to be able to call up a dude that's on TV, usually on TV every day, and be like, hey, what are you doing on this day? He's like, nothing. Like, that'll probably never happen again. He's one of the busiest people in comedy, and I got him free for an hour, so that was good.
It's incredible. And yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think it was only recently that I learned I can just ask people. Like before, I was like, okay, I probably have to call in some favors and pull some strings. And I was like, man, we're just sitting around. We all want to be performing as much as possible. We can't go outside. We'll do the show.
Yeah. And then, you know, every comedian wants to talk about themselves.
Oh, 100%.
Who doesn't want to do that for an hour? So
exactly. Why were we nervous when we could just like literally DM almost any comedian that was like, you want some attention? And they're like, yes, give it to me. Yeah, please just give me the attention.
If Dave Chappelle had a Twitter, I would have shot my shot a long time ago. Trust me.
And for this episode, we, of course, are getting into sports, specifically LeBron James. So what made you want to cover this topic?
Because I think LeBron is like an anomaly in sports because we have so many documentaries about kids that had a lot of pressure put on them or like their parents really pushed them in sports or they were famous at a young age and the shit doesn't work out. Whereas we have this guy who, I mean, LeBron is what, like 10 years older than me. So when he was 15, 16, I was a first grader seeing him on magazines and seeing him on TV. So he's always been like this superhero to me kind of. And to see somebody who all that pressure has been put on him and he literally like did better than what most people say. Like people try to give LeBron a lot of shit, but I can guarantee you a lot of those people who were scouting him and all everything he's done so far and still gonna do, I don't think people really saw this coming.
I mean, if you go into like the start of his career in high school, he averaged 21 points a game in high school, went an undefeated 27 game season and a state title. That was his freshman year.
Ninth grade.
Like, just the thought, like, everyone immediately, I think he was on Sports Illustrated, it like, I think he was, like, a sophomore?
Yeah, I had the magazine at home. I think I was, like, 6 years old, and I had the magazine.
Yeah, he was a sophomore. He was an underclassman who graced the pages of Sports Illustrated, the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Cover.
He was seen as the next, like, he was given, like, the crown of, you are the next coming of Jordan. Before he left high school, like before he became a senior.
Imagine not even being able to drive yet and people are calling you the chosen one. Like that's that's crazy. Like people give me compliments on my comedy special and I feel uncomfortable. And I'm a grown man. Like the dude was 16. Like he hadn't even gone to prom yet. And people were telling him you're going to be a Hall of Fame NBA All-Star. Like what? Like that's crazy to me.
He was named Ohio Mr. Basketball and was selected by USA Today as like first team in all of high schools in America as a sophomore. Like that is the pressure of that.
He was Ohio Mr. Football the next year.
That's another thing about LeBron James is he was also a wide receiver in high school and his proportions are not that of a wide receiver. He is a big guy. He has the long arms and everything that you want to in a wide receiver. But like, if you listen to NFL coaches, they're like, yeah, this guy could have been a tight end in the NFL if he wanted to. He just didn't want to. Like, that's fucking insane.
That's some people's one dream. And he was just like, I'm cool, man. I don't want to do that. Like, that's crazy to me.
He could have rolled the dice on two separate professional sports, and he just chose the one he could make more money on longer.
Right. I mean, 17 years and still be the best player? Like, because I really feel LeBron's been the best player in the league since at least 2007.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to definitely get into it. We're going to try to go in order as much as we can. But guys, if you have any, like, sports, not, like, Andrew, tell me before we even started this, LeBron James, what did that conjure in your head before we start throwing out his whole history?
I mean, I'm actually aware of this, which, as all our listeners know, is a rare thing for me if it's sports related, that the debate here over Jordan and LeBron and the fact that lately it seems to be tipping more and more towards LeBron. I remember years ago, it seemed to be very heavily like, oh, but we don't really know. And now it seems very much like, yeah, come on, he's just the greatest. And that this was a name that I recognized, that I knew where to go to find information was a big thing for me. So this was fantastic. This was what I was excited to cover. And also that he is really just beloved. Everyone that talks about him speaks of him so highly in pretty much any term. And that's wonderful to see that there's someone that, yeah, like there's got to be something you're bad at, right? But so far we haven't seemed to find it.
that's always the craziest thing about him when you really look at his life. It's like, the people that don't like him usually don't like him because he just beats their team. Like, it's not because the person, like, you don't hear somebody be like, yeah, LeBron's an asshole. Or you don't hear stories about, like, kids being like, yeah, he came to our school and it was a horrible time. And it's like, not only does he come to schools, he creates schools for a low-income family. Like, this dude, is he a robot? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's unfathomable sometimes. Like, he amazes me. Like, I don't understand.
He's absolutely, I mean, we're going to get into, I'll get into a little bit into why some people might not like him, because we'll hit the Miami period as we go.
The villain era.
Like, people have tried to paint him in a bad brush. Even before he went pro, they made a big scandal, and, you know, it's a little sketchy, but his mom went and pretty much took out a loan to buy him a Hummer for his birthday, with the understanding of, I can pay you this loan, my son is about to be an NBA superstar. And apparently that's not cool if you're an amateur.
It's really interesting the rules that are put on amateurs. Like, we've seen this kind of like with like LaMelo Ball's pathway to the NBA. It's interesting, like, the parameters around it, because I think there was also somebody giving him some jerseys too, and that apparently was against the rules and all this other shit. And so it's just like one of these things. It's like, okay, if this kid is a famous, popular athlete and he's not being paid to play sports yet, you can't give him stuff. And I think that's crazy, because if some kid was winning spelling bees all the fucking time and had a full ride to Harvard and I bought him a car or bought him a basketball jersey, nobody would think anything of it.
I completely agree with that. It's also wild to me because he didn't play college basketball.
No, it was always known he was going straight to the league.
Yeah, this was not like an NCAA, you know, which is a terrible organization as far as, you know, how they treat those kids. But like,
right.
It wasn't even that. Like, this is just like, they like had this whole controversy happen for someone who was just like, yeah, well, what rule, what are you going to do? The Ohio High School Athletic Association is going to punish me with what?
Yeah.
Also, can you imagine being an 18-year-old kid and being like, no, I've got to turn down the car my mother gave me? None of this was unreasonable, and it seems very much designed to be a, we don't want you making money until we can get a cut of that money.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. You don't have an agent yet. We don't like this.
Yeah, it's like a you know, Wiseman last year, who Wiseman now plays for the Golden State Warriors. What happened with him, quick rundown, Penny Hardaway, who now coaches the Memphis Tigers, before he even coached them, he was friends with the family and gave them some money to help them move from Nashville to Memphis so that he could play for Penny Hardaway. Not illegal to do that. The problem was, he later became coach of Memphis. Wiseman went there, and then they were saying, oh no, that was a gift from the school to him to go to the school. And like, it's just like, why go out of your way to punish a child?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And my thing is, let's say it was a gift from the school. Who gives a fuck? Like, it's just, he helped a family. Like, he was James Wiseman's, like, childhood hero, and he was, like, the mentor and everything. And so it's just, like, that he was just literally helping them out. And then he happens to coach at, like, he just happened to coach at the college a few years later. So that whole scandal was just kind of ridiculous to me. Because, yeah, like, we know what all these schools are doing behind closed doors. And to, like, pick on something like that, where he literally helped a family friend, was wild to me. And they took a whole year of basketball from that kid. Like, that was crazy.
And guess what? Now he's only very highly paid. It's the number, like, 3 pick in the draft, I think. Like,
exactly, yeah.
But speaking of the draft, so LeBron goes, has this stellar high school career. I'm not sure even if you could say that it has been matched since. Like, and so he has all this pressure going into the 2003 draft. And the ping pong balls fall in a way that I hate, because I am a Memphis Grizzlies fan. We were historically a bad team during the early 2000s. Just awful. And so that draft rolls around and the ping pong balls fall and the Cleveland Cavaliers get the number one pick in the draft. And therefore, like, we were kind of robbed of what would have been our pick. Like, it would have been our pick.
Who did the Grizzlies end up getting in that 03 draft?
Oh, man. Marcus Banks. We had Marcus Banks.
Wow. 03 might have been, like, one of the most stacked draft classes ever, too. So that sucks that y'all left with Marcus Banks.
I mean, just off the top of my head, you got LeBron, you got Carmelo, you got Chris Bosh.
Wade.
Yeah, Wade was in that draft. And I feel like there was another person a little deeper. Anyways, that draft was absolutely stacked. And Memphis, being Memphis at the time, managed to find the worst person on it, which, you know, classic move for us back then. But Cleveland gets the pick and they get their hometown hero. Like, LeBron does not have to leave Ohio. He is going to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Northeast Ohio. Yeah, I feel like it was the same county, too. Like, I think Akron and Cleveland are, like, in the same section in Ohio. So.
Oh, yeah. No, they're close together. Like, this was kismet. This was fate. And, you know, you want LeBron to play for your team. But, like, let's face it. Like, as far as, like, I like a good story. And you can't beat the story of LeBron getting drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That draft also shows you how bad of a franchise Cleveland is. Because that tells me, if you didn't get this once-in-a-generation talent in this draft, you never would have won.
Never.
As soon as LeBron left, they won 22 games the next season or some shit like that. Like, I think the Heat, the first year he was on the Heat, they lost less games than the Cavs won.
He joined the Cavaliers, and they immediately had an 18-game improvement. He finished that season, his first season, with 21 points a game, you know, averaging 21 points a game. 5.5 rebounds, 5.9 assists. He came in as highly anticipated, and he matched expectations. He won Rookie of the Year. He was incredible. He was LeBron James out the gate.
Ohio State really wanted him to come play 1 year, like really, really bad.
Of course they did.
Yeah, and he always says, like, if I would have went to school, I went to Ohio State. And it's wild to me. Like, this dude averaged 21-5-5 in the NBA as an 18-year-old. Like, what would he have done to those college kids?
Like, oh, man. As a
like, we saw what
Zion
did. Like, LeBron probably would have averaged a triple-double with, like, 35 points in college.
he flexed all through high school. So, like, why not carry that over to, like, the slightly better competition in college?
Exactly. Slightly better. Because if you watch, like, some college basketball, that shit is really bad. And it gets really sloppy in those last 2 minutes.
People who love college basketball over the NBA, I don't get it. And you have to go to a Kentucky or like an early mid-2000s Memphis, like of some kind of like great program like that for you to be able to watch through like just this sloppy, like terrible basketball.
What's the terrible, what they always say? They just play with more heart because they're not playing with money. Man, shut the fuck. They shoot 27% from the field, bro.
Yeah, I have the chance to, like, if my performance is based on me getting millions of dollars, I'll play better
better. Right. I'm going to play way better. There's a reason they're paying me to do this shit. Those guys are just getting sweats.
Wen had mentioned the 18-game improvement in his first year, just to show how much that was. They finished the season 35-47. I mean, the massive amount of improvement that was.
They were still terrible.
They were the year before. Right, to still be terrible, but...
They didn't even win 20 games the year before LeBron came.
Right, well, that's it. I mean, he doubled their win record. And realizing how, I mean, that's still a terrible year, but to double a win record with basically one new player, one new 18-year-old, this kid, is absolutely incredible.
And no help, because that team was awful.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, who was on that first team? I think Carlos Boozer was on that team. I think that was like the next best guy. And that was kind of where they fucked up because they wouldn't give Carlos Boozer that deal to stay. So then after that, the team got even worse.
People weren't like going, oh, you know who I want to do? I want to do a super team in Cleveland. Nobody was, you know, this is early 2000s basketball. The teams themselves were responsible for like making those formations. It wasn't the players being like, well, where can I go to get a ring? Which it is now, which once again, because of LeBron, we're gonna get into.
Yeah, I can't wait to get to that conversation.
Andrew, you want to take us to the next season or the next kind of stretch here?
I mean, the next stretch was really 2004 to 2008. I mean, he gets his first All-Star game selection in 04, 05. He's amazing right away. And as I went through these numbers, the thing I kept finding again and again was people saying, but he's so young. Like, I realize there's a lot of young players in the game. And now it's the exact opposite. He's 37. People are going, I can't believe he can do this at 37. It's this amazing stretch. But, I mean, this is really the next era, right? I'm going to let you explain it because you're going to do it better than I will. I just have numbers that make me feel slightly more comfortable. This is my security blanket.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
They missed the playoffs in his second season, and then he went on to, he was part of the All-Star games. In 2006, he was the All-Star MVP after scoring like 31 points. He also was second in the NBA Most Valuable Player Award behind Steve Nash. Like, he's so good out the gate.
Yeah, the MVP award that they gave to Steve Nash that Kobe should have got.
Yeah. We're gonna get into those controversies later in the episode. Spoiler, we're going to focus a lot on MVPs in a bit. But yeah, so he wins that one. He goes to the playoffs in that 2006 season, and he does well. They lose to the Detroit Pistons in the second round, but he has like this just on fire game winner shot, the first of his career in game 3 against the Washington Wizards. LeBron is the fucking real deal. Like, it's electric. It's beautiful to watch. He understands the game so well. His court vision is so good.
He's a basketball robot. I remember last year in a press conference, he literally just detailed everything that happened in the game in the first quarter. And this was hours after the game was over. And it's like, dude, how do you remember? You play so many basketball games. How do they not run together? He literally detailed every play in the first quarter. He's like, yeah, and that's why we lost. And I was like, this dude is just, he's lasered in, focused. And those Washington Wizards team that he beat in the playoffs, I really think that was a big deal because that team was a very high scoring team at the time. Gilbert Arenas was like at his peak. I mean, these were the days where Gilbert Arenas was dropping like 40, 50 on Kobe. Like, That was the guy, Agent Zero. And so for LeBron to take this Cavs team and to beat that Wizards team, that definitely had them outmatched in a seven-game series is crazy to me. And to play the Pistons, who at the time were really like the Eastern Conference dynasty at that point. I mean, they won a championship in 04, and then they were going to the finals repeatedly. So for that to be the team, like, I think did they take them to, what, six games?
Yeah, no, he's just, I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, to take the Cavs at all to the playoffs was a fucking feat. To get them deep into the playoffs, also insane. I mean, 2008, 2009, he lost, I believe, to Dwight Howard for the defensive award for that year.
He was doing everything.
I mean, no, he played point guard for a stretch. There were so many injuries on the Cavs that they were like, LeBron, can you play point guard? And he said, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And he did it so fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, I think the season that really solidified him was 07 when he took them to the finals and they got swept by the Spurs, because no one had them picked coming out of the East. Like, no basketball insider. I mean, even the Cavs couldn't believe they were there. Like, that, they knew they weren't even supposed to be on the court, and that's why the Spurs, you know, fucked them up. But it was like one of those things. Like, I think the whole league was on notice. Is like, okay, this dude is as good as everybody's saying it. And like, even there's even a video, you can look it up. Like, after the Spurs swept them, Tim Duncan said, like, yo, this is going to be your league in a minute. Just let me get my shit really quick. Like, so that's crazy. Like, that's crazy to me that like, even like Tim Duncan saw this, and this 21-year-old at the time, like, you're the best. But, you know, he took that team there literally by himself. I think the second best player on that team, if I'm not wrong, was Boobie Gibson. Maybe. I think that was like the second best player. And it was Ilgauskas even on that team? Or was he in Miami at that point? And was Sasha Pavlovich on this team?
Yeah, Sasha Pavlovich was on there. Yeah, he took a fucking team of just, you know, misfit toys to the finals. I mean, yeah, they got swept by the Spurs. Nobody's shocked by that. But god damn, he's just so good.
The best team and the best coach, like, of course.
I mean, Popovich is definitely, if you're going to make a Mount Rushmore of basketball coaches, it pops on there.
Yeah, it's him, Phil, and everybody else. Like, that's really
exactly
it. And so if that's, they took all that to sweep a 21-year-old kid basically by himself. And I think that 21 years kind of what solidified him at that point. And then those next 2 years in Cleveland, I mean, those two were crazy. Those, because I think they were the number one seed back to back from 2008 to 2010. They won like 60 plus games both seasons, but then they got put out in the playoffs, like you said, by the Magic in 09, I believe.
And then in 10, I believe they were bounced by the Celtics.
Yeah, in the second round. They didn't even make it back to the Eastern Conference Finals. And so those 2 years sucked as a basketball fan because of those dumb puppet commercials. We all wanted to see Kobe, LeBron in the finals. And so Kobe got there both seasons, but LeBron was on the Cavs, so he couldn't really hold up his end of the deal. So we saw Dwight Howard in the finals. Who wants to see that shit? But yeah, and I still to this day remember where I was when LeBron hit that three-pointer to beat the Magic in the playoffs, that buzzer beater.
Oh yeah, that was on every fucking channel, I think.
Yeah, I had a friend over and we were chilling and we had football practice or basketball practice or something, and like he literally was like, LeBron's gonna hit a three to win the game. And I was like, you're fucking crazy. And then he did it and we were just like, what the, like, I remember we went crazy. Like I was like 14, 15, but that shit was wild. And like I remember like the shot was just crazy. I mean, the Magic couldn't have defended it any better. They did everything they could do, but he's just LeBron James.
There's something about those shots. Like I think Luka had one in the bubble where it was just one of those shots where it's just
that,
like,
step back three was nasty.
God,
there's nothing. There was nothing Reggie Jackson could do.
Yeah, like it's just one of those things that, like, yeah, you can't do anything else. Like that ball was destined to go into the hoop. Like that's fate. You're going up against like forces you do not understand.
Exactly.
Which was one of the things I did to prepare for this was just watch a ton of tape, which was amazing. But what was so interesting to me was, now as you had mentioned, his memory, and it seems like he knew where absolutely everything was all of the time.
All the time. I mean, that's the thing with LeBron. Certain players always have their best seasons with him. I'm from Jackson, Mississippi, so I'm very familiar with the point guard Mo Williams. He's from Jackson. He would work out at the gym I worked at in high school. He brought LeBron one time. I wasn't working that day, unfortunately, but he turned Mo Williams into an all-star. And outside of that two seasons he played with LeBron, he has never put up all-star numbers ever. But he turned Mo Williams into like a star point guard and made him look really good. And like that's just how LeBron plays. He knows where everybody needs to be at all times. He knows where everybody's supposed to be. And then he's the best passer since Magic Johnson. That's the thing nobody really talks about as much. It's like, this dude's so good at everything else. People forget, like, his best attribute is literally passing the ball.
Yeah, it's I mean, that's what I love about Ja Morant right now with the Grizzlies.
I love Ja Morant.
The basketball IQ to be able to see the court and just know, like, you're a conductor. You know where everything is going to go. You know where they're going to be. You know where your guys are going to be. And you see the plays before they have. It's when you're that good at basketball, like, I don't understand how, you know, there's an IQ to it. Like, a basketball IQ is definitely a thing. Like, you can suck at everything else, but there are players just know this sport and like on a level you just can't comprehend.
And like, it's really one of those things you can't really teach. And like, I'm not gonna act like I'm some basketball savant, but I remember my freshman year of high school, we had a little basketball team and we went undefeated. Like, we won every single game, and we weren't like the most athletic team in the world or the biggest team in the world, but like literally everybody in that starting five just knew how to hoop. Like, they knew where to be. And that's just one of those things you can't really like teach unless you like really watch basketball a lot. And if you look at LeBron, like, that dude loves basketball. He's not just really good at it. He loves it. Like, you can tell, like, you can, if you follow him on Instagram, he watches the games of other teams. Like, if the Pistons and the Wizards are playing, LeBron watches the game. No, most basketball fans wouldn't even waste time watching the Pistons and the Wizards play, but LeBron will watch the game and be like, all right, he should have did that. He should have. And that's why he's the best. He studies this shit.
He's not just a great player. He is a great fan. You said something about how it can be taught into cross sports here for a second. There was a little bit where Mark McGwire was a hitting coach.
Yeah.
And the players, like, he would go up to them and he couldn't explain to them how to hit a fast. Like, he's just like, do it. Just do it.
You want to hear something crazy?
Yes, I'd love to.
My dad and Mark McGwire won two state baseball championships together in high school.
Really?
I love
that's
that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. My dad and Big Mac played high school ball together.
Back when he was not a fucking tree of a man.
He was pretty big for a high school kid, though. I've seen the pictures.
Sure.
But yeah, my dad played short, and I think Mark might have played first or third. I can't remember. But yeah, they played high school ball together.
That's so cool.
God, that's insanely cool. But it's just like that thing, like, he could not explain to people just like, be insanely talented. Like,
yeah.
He couldn't understand why they
do
were
steroids.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that can be taught.
Right.
Yeah,
I know. I got love big for a Big Mac.
Oh, I mean, we did a whole episode on the home run race, and
that's good.
It was a very fun episode. It was one of our first ones, and it was just a blast.
I'm gonna go back and listen to that. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a good time. But yeah, no, it's wild. And he had these great seasons, but then we mentioned getting bounced by the Celtics in 2010. Andrew, you wanted to talk about this next. You wanted to focus on this next part. So 2010, bounced by the Celtics. Please tell me what happened next.
Okay, so this was one of those things where. I got to talk to Wen beforehand and say, explain to me why this was a thing. So audience, my job here is just to ask questions that I think you are also wondering. Because from my understanding, as I watched this, this was really dramatic. But to me, someone who wasn't following this felt like just a trade. Obviously, this was a decision for him to leave. But the level of betrayal from fans was nothing I'd ever seen before.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely amazing. I guess for someone who wasn't even following this to see the level of like, but for me, it was just but he's just going to another team, right? He's still going to play basketball. Right. You can go watch him do that on that team. So I talked to Wen, and he gave a good breakdown of how this was the really the change to when the players started forming their own ultimate team.
It was a complete shift in basketball culture. That's like one thing about like so interesting about LeBron. He really facilitated the players having the power in the NBA with that literally one moment. And nothing in the NBA has been the same since that night.
And that felt like a good thing to someone, again, who's outside and watching. This felt like it was amazing.
I think it's a good thing. If you're a Cleveland Cavs fan, of course it's not a good thing. Because, I mean, if you look at stats, 2010 was the best year he had with Cleveland. Just, like, statistically, like, as an individual, the way the team was playing. I mean, I remember they had, like, a highlight video people would just watch of, like, that team. Because I remember that Cavs team had this thing they would do, like, before games where LeBron would pretend he was a photographer and they would all, like, pose for pictures and shit, like, before the game. And that was when, like, he had a handshake with everybody. That's when, like, that really started. Like, the team was just really fun to watch. And you would forget, like, nobody else on this team is good, but they're the best team in the NBA regular season-wise. But, like, nobody could beat the Cavs at home. I think they only lost, like, 8 home games that year. I think they won at least, like, 35 home games or some shit. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, they could not lose at home. They sold out every home game that year. And I remember they had these shirts that said, it was like, I love Cleveland, but LeBron's face was the heart. And they were, like, the most popular shirt in Cleveland. And, I mean, they were the best team in the NBA. So imagine being a Cleveland fan. You don't have shit. You're the best team in the NBA. You have a bad playoffs. And then the dude that's the reason why you're the best team in the NBA is just like, peace.
So LeBron became a unrestricted free agent in 2010, that summer, which means he had his choice of what teams to go to. And he's the best player in the world. People want to know where LeBron James is going to go. The thing is, he said, oh, okay, he's a good player. Like, I think he's a good guy. I think he's you know, at his core, he's a good person. And he thought this is a great opportunity to raise money for the Boys and Girls Club. And so he said he was going to do an ESPN television special to announce his decision. It raised $2.5 million. And I'll speak for myself. I thought for certain that the fact that he was going to do a TV special about it just meant that he was going to go out there and say, I'm staying, and have everyone just be like, of course he's staying. He did a whole TV special.
That's what everybody thought.
Everyone thought that, like, you're not going to do a TV special and leave. Like, that was another reason why people were so mad, because, like, he had all of this, like, pomp and everything. Like, just everyone was just focused on, yes, of course he's going to do this so he could do a good guy move and say, I'm staying, and have everyone celebrate, and then they'll figure out how to become a team that can actually win a championship down the road sometime.
I remember I was on vacation with my family the night that happened. And I'm talking the night that happened, like some tragic thing. It's just a dude switching jobs. Jesus. But I remember we were on vacation. We were at the beach. And I remember looking at the TV And there's people like at bars all over the country in LeBron clothes watching the TV for this TV special. Like they're watching the Super Bowl. I was like, this dude has the most influence in the world. This is crazy. And then when you think about it, nobody had ever done anything like this before.
No.
Because most guys that are the best player in the league at the time or the biggest player are usually on a pretty good team. So unrestricted free agent, you know, you just re-sign, you know. And so I feel like that's what everybody expected him to do. And I had a feeling he was doing the Miami thing when the day before Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade announced that they were signing. Like, D-Wade was re-signing with the Heat and Bosh was signing with the Heat. And then I was like, well, they have one more max slot. It'd be crazy, but like, it's definitely a possibility. And so when he did it, I was like, this is going to be something people have never seen before.
I mean, people lost their goddamn minds. I remember I was in a bar in Memphis with my family because I was, you know, like 18 or something at the time, 17. But I was with them eating dinner and like, we were just like focused on it. And the whole place lost its goddamn mind. But no one lost their mind more than Cleveland.
Yeah, they were trashing shit, burning shit. And like, their ESPN had cameras everywhere. So like, you would see people's reactions. And so they were going just insane, throwing shit. It was like they lost a game, but honestly, they lost something bigger than a game. Like they knew how bad the team was going to be the next year.
It completely shook the NBA because it wasn't the Heat going around and being like, they didn't really set this up themselves.
No, because apparently he still wasn't sure if he was going to go through with it, like going into the special starting. He told them, I guess he had told them like a soft agreement, but he also said, I still might stay. So then the Heat, Pat Riley still didn't even know 100% if he was going to choose the Heat. So there was like, apparently all his friends say like that it was a chance he still was going to stay in Cleveland before he said it. And so when you look at his face when he says it, you can even tell it's like, what I'm about to say is really about to fuck some shit up. Like you could, like it looked like he didn't want to say it.
I don't think he did want to say it. You know, like they're, you know, that man does love Cleveland. He loves it.
He does. He loves Ohio.
But he made that decision and everyone just gave him shit. Oh my God. Like, yeah, Cleveland was burning his jerseys and everything, but you have Magic and Jordan.
Imagine working a job for 7 years, you give everything to this job, and you just don't really like the location, and it's not really working out for you. And then you say, I'm gonna move to a city with better weather and work with my friends, and millions of people are like, nah, fuck you. Like, that's literally what happened to him. Like, he just switched locations.
Imagine working at a Starbucks and being like, I'm gonna actually switch over to the one on 3rd, and everyone just, like, started flipping tables and burning
and throwing
shit
at you and saying, we're gonna kill your family and crazy shit like that. And what a lot of people forget is because he was so dominant and he was the best player in the league, he was 25.
Yes.
I'm 25 now. I could never imagine that much pressure over choosing somewhere where to live.
Well, I mean, that's a really good point, too. And when he made this announcement, there was also the switch afterwards from what I saw where at first, obviously, people were upset about the decision itself. But suddenly became very upset about the fact that he televised it the way he did, as if this was personal rather than the fact that he did this for charity. It was like he saw an opportunity and he did this to help people, even though obviously he knew this was going to get more shit from this. But
I think what got him more shit was when they did the whole theatrical thing like 2 days later when they all three had the jerseys on.
Oh,
and they
yeah,
come on
yeah.
stage with the smoke. And then he's talking about not 5, not 6, not 7. When he said that shit, I was like, oh, no.
Oh, God. It was so over the top. But also, it kind of defined that Miami Heat era. I mean, you have like Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan both being like condemning him, being like, oh, you can't win as the man. And it's just like, no one can anymore.
No way.
Because this move completely shifted the NBA. They went and formed a super team, and people have been forming super teams ever since.
Ever since.
It was essentially like the invention of the atomic bomb. Like, now everyone's got to have one if you're going to start shit.
Everybody wants to use nuclear warfare now.
Yeah.
Because LeBron did. That's what it is. That nobody, we're not playing fair. Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, look what just happened with Brooklyn. Like,
exactly.
Tonight's going to be the first time Kyrie, James, and KD all play on the court together. So it should be very interesting.
Yeah. Y'all are listening to the future, so y'all know how this game's going to turn out. But I can tell you right now, I'm going to maybe look like an idiot, but I'm going to tell you the Nets are going to win this game. And if y'all are listening in a few weeks and I'm wrong, then fuck it. Who cares? I'm a comedian. I don't give a shit.
Right. Right. But yeah, LeBron really turned the NBA on its head with that one decision. And I think for him to be 25, he was always this beloved, like, kid from high school, hometown hero type thing. You go to Miami, now you're the villain. Nobody's rooting for you anymore.
And he embraced it.
Yeah, he became a better player because of it.
Oh, he was playing angry. And you could tell, like, you can tell, like, there's definitely something about the Miami-era LeBron that is angrier and way more aggressive in his playing style. If you're watching it, you could see him just, like, fucking staring dudes down and shit. Mm-hmm. Because, you know what? It was just this attitude, just like, you're going to make me the bad guy? Fuck it, I'm the bad guy.
That series where they were down 3-2 to Boston, and I think it might have been 2012. And when they had to win game six in Boston to just have a shot and to do a game seven in Miami, he scores 47 in three quarters. And he was just unstoppable. And there was this look on his face that was just like, I don't care who's on the court. Nobody's stopping me. You could have the same jersey on as me. Don't get in my way.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out my way. And like, that's when I saw that, I was like, this dude's the best. Nobody does this. This is crazy. And I feel like, I think he needed going to Miami, because I think staying in Cleveland and just being on these bad teams over and over again, I think he was just going to keep having an excuse to keep losing and just, oh, I'm the best player on a bad team, blah, blah, blah. But I think being in Miami with that extra added pressure of like, all right, now you got D-Wade. Now you got Chris Bosh. Now you got Pat Riley pulling the strings. If you lose, it's your fault. There's no more excuses. I think put a lot of pressure on him that just made him just a way better player and just more fun to watch too. I think he added more to his game with his jump shot, with the way he ran the offense, on defense, everything.
I mean, pressure makes diamonds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is an important shift in the game, but also a good time to introduce where it actually went wrong here, because the 2009 and 2010 season, he wins MVP, and this is now the new era in 2011 here. And this is where it starts to go wrong, really, despite his game improving. So, Niles, where did it go wrong?
The league made him pay.
That's right.
The league made him pay for going to Miami. They said, all right, no more MVP trophies. That's it.
Right.
Because I think he won the MVP in 2011, the first year they were there. And I think just because they had to give it to him, because he was just head and shoulders better statistically than everybody.
Just fucking incredible.
But after that year, you know, KD is playing better. James Harden goes to Houston. You know, there's players playing good around the NBA. And I think the league kind of did this thing where it was just like, if guys have stats anywhere close to what LeBron just does on the daily, that's the MVP. And the MVP since about 2012 till now, because I think LeBron should have been MVP last year.
LeBron won 2009, 2010, 2012, and 2013.
Yeah. So about since 2012, 2013, after he won the first championship, the league was like, all right, nah, we're no more MVP trophies for you. And it's like, these guys will put up stats close to what LeBron puts up, and they're like, all right, you're the best player now. But then they play LeBron in the playoffs, or they don't even make it to the championship. And it's like, LeBron is the best guy. What are you doing? Like, yeah. these dudes are doing second tier LeBron numbers. You're giving it to a guy that's close to LeBron. And so I just think it's like the closest player to LeBron award now.
Exactly.
They're not even going to give it to him.
They lose that first finals. His first finals in Miami, they lose to the Dallas Mavericks. Dirk gets a ring. And you know what? Good for Dirk.
Crazy playoffs.
Yeah, insane playoffs.
Yeah. That dude had a crazy playoffs.
They go back to back on just dominating. Like, you guys, you know, recently are aware of the Warriors. It's like that. It's just, you're getting steamrolled every night.
Yeah, 2012, 2013, Miami, that was crazy.
Oh, yeah. And then, once again, 2013, 2014, they play the Spurs in the finals, and they lose that. You know, it was a great run. I mean, two back-to-back championships is fantastic. It's the dream if you're a player.
It's very hard to do.
Three-peats are a rarity for a reason. It's nigh impossible to be able to do it. But he gets those two rings, and he has those two losses, but he's been in the finals this whole time. And then the next thing that happens is he releases a personal essay in Sports Illustrated where he tells them, you know, he's coming home. He's going back to Cleveland.
Yeah, he learned his lesson. No more TV specials.
Yeah, exactly. He is not going to put it on television. He's going to write a very, very nice letter to Sports Illustrated explaining that he's going back to the Cavs. And all of a sudden, people are just trying to sew back up ripped jerseys.
Right. Oh, shit, we love you again. Like, yeah, okay. Sure you do.
Like, oh, we're so sorry. We built an entire life-size replica of you and burnt it in effigy. We're glad to have you back, buddy.
I mean, I was reading shit where, like, the economy in, like, downtown Cleveland tanked for those years he wasn't there. Because it was literally the bars, the restaurants, everything, all the attractions were built around going to see LeBron play basketball or just being close to that. And so when he came back, like, the economy shot right back up again.
This is one of the things that is so hard for me to understand. I moved around a reasonable amount as a kid, not too much, but enough that there wasn't, you know, every 4 or 5 years or something, there's a shift. So there was never that town loyalty. And now I'm in Chicago. I love it here, but this is very much like, oh, this is a great place to start comedy and I'm really enjoying the city. But trying to understand the connection of like, no, you're playing for our city. You owe us. It's like every comedian I know, once they get good, they leave Chicago. You go to New York or LA. That's just what the job is. And this was so insane for me to watch where the conditionality of this love, it's like you are a favorite person in the world as long as you are nearby at all times.
Because before I dropped out of college, I was going to school in Oklahoma. So I was in Oklahoma like when KD and Russ was doing their thing and everything. And then I remember I moved to LA and then I dropped out, moved to LA. And then the next year, KD left Oklahoma, moved to California too. And I was like, yeah, bro, I get it. I completely get it. Like I lived in Oklahoma. That shit sucks. And it's just like to be in your 20s and have millions of dollars and you live in a suburb in Oklahoma City. Like, give the dude a break. Like, of course he wants to go to San Francisco and Brooklyn. Like, no one wants to live in, nobody wants to live in Oklahoma City. Like, you live in Oklahoma City because you were born in Oklahoma City and there's not a way out. Like, that's, sorry to any of the listeners. If you from OKC, you know I'm telling the truth.
90% of our audience is from Oklahoma City. This is going to devastate
the show.
Yeah.
Cancel Niles Abston.
But the thing is, in his absence, the Cavs were fucking terrible, as we know.
Horrible.
But they got those high draft picks. They got Kyrie now. He's going back to a team that has now learned how to win games without him. So they come back and they're good. He continues his reign of going to the finals. They lose to the Warriors that first year.
Should have won that year.
They should have won that one, but they had injuries.
Kyrie hurt his knee. Kevin Love hurt his shoulder. That should have been them. I mean, LeBron took the Warriors to 6 games. And the next best player, I think, was Timofey Mozgov. He averaged 20. And what's Mozgov doing?
Like, once again, he played with LeBron. That's why he averaged 20.
Exactly. LeBron averaged 38 or 39 that series or some crazy shit like that. I mean, he was dominant. That was a great series to watch, too.
He lost, and they were still just like, do we give him finals MVP?
Yeah, they still wanted to give him finals MVP. That's the wild thing about it. Should have gave him league MVP.
You know, if you want to hear my most controversial basketball opinion, it is that season, if Tony Allen and Mike Conley were both healthy, the Grizzlies would have made it to that finals.
That's not controversial at all.
Oh, I'll tell some people that and they fight me on it. But if those two were healthy, they had the Warriors number that whole series.
The Grizzlies had a couple years where I really think they should have beat Golden State. I think y'all had a really solid squad with Conley, Tony Allen, Z-Bo, Mark Gasol. Like, those teams were really good. But that year, yeah, if they're healthy, if Tony Allen, if just Tony Allen's healthy, they win that series.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mike Conley was wearing the mask. He had this amazing game, I believe, in that series where he came out wearing the mask because his face was still broken. And he just put up insane numbers. It was the most fun game of basketball I've ever watched in my entire life. I definitely think they would have won. But yeah, the Cavs lose in the finals. LeBron puts up those insane numbers. But then the next season happens. The next finals, once again, it's a rematch with the Warriors, and they go down 3-1.
That series made him the greatest basketball player of all time, in my opinion.
It's a fucking death sentence, 3-1. Like, no one has ever come back from it in basketball. Only LeBron.
Nobody's ever done it in basketball. He did it on the highest level of basketball against the unanimous MVP. And I love Steph Curry. I think he's really good, but
he's incredible.
I don't think unanimous MVP was. I think the media loves a new story, and LeBron being good gets boring sometimes, I guess.
So is that how this is justified? Because as I'm going through numbers here, it was just as you said, Niles, all the numbers are just slightly worse than LeBron for everyone who's getting the MVP over him. And it's like, oh, wow, if you're getting those numbers, you're really good. But also there's a guy here who's doing better. So how is this justified?
Who's also 5 years older than you are.
Right. So how is this? I mean, obviously, with all the fans agreeing he's the greatest, how is this then justified? Is it just, well, we can't keep doing this. It's going to get boring if he's MVP every year. Is that basically it?
They did the same thing to Kobe. They only gave Kobe one.
Yeah.
Kobe might be the third or fourth best basketball player of all time, and he only has one MVP. They gave one he should have won to Dirk in 2007. And then they gave one he should have... Steve, I think the 05 one Kobe should have won. I'll give Steve Nash 06. But 05, Kobe averaged 35 a game. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like,
it should have been. The fact that Kobe didn't only won MVP award is insane. It's absolutely insane. But, like, just the idea of LeBron had this amazing season in that championship. I mean, they have something called the block. That block on Iguodala was one of the most iconic moments in sports. It sealed Game 7. You could say the block, and everyone knows, who's a sports fan, knows, like, you guys can't see it at home, but I have an Alabama thing behind me. It's like saying kick six. Like, you know, yeah. You know exactly what that play was just from hearing a few words. And it was incredible. And yeah, he won finals MVP that year, but you have to remember, he scored like 41 points back-to-back to get them in there. He had that insane block, and he kept getting to the finals with essentially, you know, Kyrie was there for a bit, but like not really a lot of support.
Yeah, and people forget about the season after the season when Kyrie left. So the KD comes in 2017, right? And they get beat 4-1. I mean, that Warriors team is like, that's unmatched. Like, it just, that team, there's really nothing you can do. Kyrie asks for a trade and leaves. So a lot of people forget, 2018, Cleveland gets the fourth seed in the playoffs and goes to the finals. Like, that LeBron, what LeBron did that year was literally like, all right, we're not the best in the world. We don't have Kyrie. Basically, I'm going to kind of coast and save my body. Fuck the seeding. When we get to the playoffs, I'm going to destroy everybody. And that's exactly what he did. I mean, they were fourth place. People were talking about, oh, the Raptors are the best team in the East. The Raptors are going to win the championship. All right. Okay. I don't know if it was four games or five games. I just know they didn't even have a shot. And this was the number one team in the East. And LeBron just ran through that whole Eastern side of the playoffs by himself, basically, with J.R. Smith in 2018.
When it comes to the MVP award, it becomes narrative because it stands for most valuable player. It doesn't say player with the best numbers. It doesn't say player with the most fun story behind him for this season. It's not like, oh, this guy came out of nowhere and he scored a bunch of points and we're going to reward that.
This guy averages a triple-double, but his team doesn't win.
Like, exactly. He is the most valuable player to be able to take a terrible Cavs team to the finals means he provides the most value to that team. He was going to will the Lakers with that first year he was with them to the playoffs, even though they were terrible. If he didn't get injured, he would have done it.
But I really feel like because the way that team was playing right before Lonzo and LeBron got hurt, you kind of see it like, oh, they could go deep in the playoffs. They just got to get there. They were going to do it, but, you know, injuries, you can't really do anything about that. But I feel like but also it's crazy if they do make the playoffs that year, it probably makes the AD trade a little more difficult to pull off because now it's like, well, he did get these young guys there. Should we just kind of see what happens and everything? But I feel like with the team really not even being able to do anything, pulling the trigger on the Anthony Davis.
It panned out well for him. But that move to the Lakers, though, I think that's a good story because there was all this controversy behind the decision. But the man reshaped all of basketball in that call. People were then trying to make their own super teams. Players were going to where they knew they could get rings. It gave the players so much power that they didn't have. Before, it was just like, oh, you were drafted into this franchise. You owe it to them to stay until they say they don't want you anymore.
Right. That's not the narrative anymore. Because, like, even, like, kind of look what Kawhi did when he was nursing his quad back. He just sat. And I think you can do – LeBron made a league where if you feel like your body isn't ready and you can't really be 100%, you can just sit out. And if that team has a problem with it, you'll leave. And I feel like the players have that kind of power now. And if we're being honest, like who else should have the power but the people really entertaining us out
there?
Right.
Yeah, do not get mad that the people who are putting their bodies out there and actually playing the sport want to have something behind it that fuels that fire. I mean, exactly. LeBron did not want to be somebody who went to the finals every year and gave it a good run. He wanted a championship. Kevin Durant did not want to be somebody who just went to a good playoff run every year.
I don't fault KD at all. I mean, just like, think about everybody. That's everybody's dream. I just want to work with my friends and have fun. Yeah.
Exactly.
But when these basketball players do it, it's like, nah, fuck you, man. But it's like, if somebody was like, yo, I'm gonna give you a promotion, you can work with your best friend every day. You're taking that. You're taking that every time.
We're gonna pay you more money and let all of your dreams come true. And you're supposed to say, no, fuck that. This place I didn't live until 4 years ago really believes in me.
Yo, that's real. Cause like, I'll meet people like who are like these big Lakers fans. And I'm like, you just moved to LA like 2 weeks ago. What are you talking about? LeBron needs to get his shit together. You need to get a bed frame. Like, stop. Chill out. But LeBron's first year in LA, I heard some wild shit. We need to trade him. He's not good to mix with these young players. And I was like, all right, stop. Let's stop.
Yeah. People were thinking this weird timetables thing. They were just like, LeBron's getting old, and it's just like, he's LeBron James. Once again, most valuable player when that first year with the Lakers, and especially last year. I mean, let's face it. If you want to say most valuable player, does the bubble happen without LeBron?
No.
That's the thing. I think LeBron was a driving factor in us even getting the end of the NBA season last year.
If LeBron James says he doesn't want to play, what happens?
Exactly. Like, some players tried it.
Right. I can't remember who it was. May have been Patrick Beverley, but he straight up said in an interview, if LeBron says we playing, we playing. Like, that's what he said. Because like, they were asking, like, do you want to go to the bubble? Do you have a... He's just straight up, if LeBron James is playing in the bubble, we're all going to the bubble.
Oh, I think that speaks to the importance, too, of what he did in changing the game and giving agency to the players. And people are so dismissive of this, being like, well, they're paid millions. It's like, yeah, but you obviously still want to do the job you want to do. There's millions is great. I would love to be getting paid millions. I'll do a lot of jobs for millions.
Yeah, but millions in Minneapolis, Minnesota, playing for the Timberwolves?
Right.
Yeah, I'm good.
And having that agency, that level of control, says a lot. And obviously it should be in the players' hands, especially because, yeah, so many people are young. They're kids when they're getting started. And the fact that he was in a position that he could be like, no, this is, we're going to let some of the players decide here. And the players are obviously following LeBron. It was great.
I think it's so dope how he's brought his friends along for the journey, too. You know,
absolutely.
A lot of these guys he played ball with in high school and friends he's had since like right after high school. I mean, his best friend is his agent. Like, his other really good friend is his business manager. And like, look at what the agency Clutch Sports has done. I mean, his friend Rich Paul he's a smart guy in his own right. But of course, you know, having LeBron connections can give you another level. And so, I mean, like, you can tell the NBA hates it. All these guys, they hate that shit. But I mean, because like, you have an agency where you're like, yeah, I'm LeBron's best friend. So, yeah, you got Ben Simmons signed there now. You got Lonzo Ball. You got Anthony Davis. You got all these people that are signed at this company now. It's brand new. And they're taking on the CAAs of the world. You know, I think it's crazy. And it's all because this one guy was like, well, I want to do it with my friends. So
I think it's so dumb when people get mad. We're like, well, you get paid so much money. Why are you going to do this? I'm just like, yeah, but like, no one's just like, hey, Adam Sandler, you're getting paid all this money. Why are you making Kubi Halloween? And it's like, because that's the movie. That's the movie he fucking wanted to make. Like,
and every one of his friends was in that movie.
Exactly.
I say that all the time. To make it in comedy, it's either work really hard or time travel 20 years back and become friends with Adam Sandler. That's how you make it. Let's be real. Some of those guys should not have careers, but they had the right friend. Yes, I'm talking about Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider. But like, back to basketball, just Giannis is incredible. And yes, like, he put up great numbers last year. LeBron's were just as good. He's the reason we probably even got to finish the season. Not only was he the most valuable player to the Lakers, to the NBA, like, he made the whole thing happen. We finished the season on the power of LeBron being like, oh, we're going to make this happen. We're going to make the bubble happen. Telling players, you're going to sit in Disney World for 3 months and you're going to fucking like it.
You're going to fucking like it. You're going to sit in that hotel room in quarantine. And if you bring a girl back to the room, you're getting suspended. Like, that's what happens.
Only LeBron can do it.
I think the media and sports, pop culture, entertainment, I think we love like a new era. So, like, guys like Giannis, Luka, they really, I think, with them kind of bringing this foreign style of NBA, like, basketball, I think the media really likes it. So it's like, we can give the reins to this global star now. Like, this is cool. Like, so I think a lot of times we're just, like, quick to, like, dethrone somebody. And also probably put a lot of pressure on people before they're even ready. I mean, they tried to do it to Kobe when LeBron was young, too. Like, they're like, LeBron's better than Kobe. I was like, hey, chill. He just graduated high school. Stop. Like, right. let's give him some time. But
they're trying to force errors. I mean, Derrick Rose. I mean, like, they gave Derrick Rose that most valuable player. That it should have probably gone to LeBron that year.
And LeBron should have won that one. And I love Derrick Rose. I think he had a great season. But he did not have a better season than LeBron. He was the second best player in the league that year. And it was really exciting to see a dude who was only 21 play point guard like that. Like, I was having a lot of fun watching Derrick Rose, but at no point was I like, this guy's better than LeBron.
They have to have the narrative, and the narrative is, it's more fun to give it to somebody else.
And here's the thing, I feel, you know how like there's that Madden curse where like if you're on the cover of Madden, some fucked up shit happens to you like the next season? I always feel bad for the guy that gets it over LeBron, because LeBron will always make a point to show I am better than you. Like, when Steph won the MVP, that 2015 finals, Steph Curry didn't win the finals MVP.
Nope.
They gave it to Iguodala. Why did they give it to Iguodala? Because he guarded LeBron the best.
Exactly.
They gave it to the guy that guarded LeBron. And then when we go look at the numbers, LeBron was still dropping 40 on this guy. He held LeBron to 40 points and they gave him the MVP. That's how good LeBron is. And so it's just like Steph Curry did. They won that finals, but Steph Curry didn't really get the shine. Like, it was LeBron's moment the entire time. Giannis didn't even make it to the finals after winning MVP. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just like LeBron is going to show you he's the best every time. Like, when I always feel bad. Like, that's why I hope like Luka or somebody, like, I'm scared one of these dudes is going to win it at too young and LeBron is just going to embarrass them. Because like, that's like when Chicago came to Miami, when D Rose won at MVP, like, LeBron was guarding him in the fourth quarter. It's like, when do you see LeBron guard somebody who's 6'1"? This isn't right.
He just does it with hate in his heart. And yeah, exactly. And you appreciate the hustle.
You remember the Lin Sanity? Remember Lin Sanity?
Yeah, I remember Lin Sanity.
Remember when Jeremy Lin was just killing everybody and then the Heat came to Madison Square Garden and they put an end to that shit? It was like LeBron was like, I'm going to embarrass you in front of everybody because they're talking about you more than they're talking about me. And that's not okay.
The talent. I mean, just the talent. Four MVP awards is great. It's severely underrated. Every year he was in Cleveland, he was the most valuable player in the NBA.
Every one of those Cleveland seasons from 2015 to 2018, 19, when he was there, he should have won MVP.
I mean, if you put any other great player in there, they don't do what they do. It's not going to happen. And then also, we haven't even gotten into the fact, and we're not going to because we don't have time. He has two gold medals. He should have won MVP so many times, but we're going to let that lay because here's the thing. We have another section in this show called In Their Defense, where one of us has to defend this terrible decision, and I don't think it's going to be Andrew.
It's not. I mean, I have opinions, but they're wrong. So please, one of you, what do you have in their defense?
So who are we defending, the NBA for not giving him the award?
That's what I go for, yeah. How do you defend the NBA for pulling these MVP titles when he seems to have deserved it so often?
So can you maybe pull up who's won MVPs, like in this kind of LeBron era at the time, like in the last 8-9 years, so I can kind of see who all has them?
Yeah, so 2013 on, we've got from the 2012-13 season, it's LeBron, then Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Westbrook, James Harden, Giannis, and Giannis.
Yeah, if you look at it, it really turned into who's almost as good as LeBron. Steph Curry, I'm trying to see who could I make the biggest argument for, because if you look at any of these guys, what did they really do in the playoffs after they won these things?
If you want me, I can make something up and I can take it. I can try to defend the NBA here.
I like that we had to defend burning witches, but this is the hardest one.
Because he's LeBron, man. Like that. LeBron James is probably more supernatural than any witch, man. Like the way he plays basketball.
All right. So when, what do you have then in their defense?
Okay. Look, without a doubt, LeBron is one of the greatest players of all time. You could say he is the greatest player of all time. But the thing is basketball is a game with, you know, upwards of 70 games a season, depending on what year you're going. You know, we have ebbs and flows just because of, you know, player lockouts, pandemics, etc. It is not a sport designed for only diehard fans. There's so much to pay attention to. There is so much to keep your interest as a viewer. Like, yeah, you'll watch your team, but guess what? There's so many other teams, and we also want you to watch this product. If the entire league is built around one man, which we are arguing in this that it is, but if we're saying it's all going to be built around one man, and only awards are going to be given to this one guy, well, guess what? You're saying that pretty much whoever is going to be living in the city that that man is playing in, those are the only people who are going to probably pay attention. There's no fun in a playoff race where it's guaranteed to be LeBron, even if he's the best. Because guess what? I'm over here watching John Morant going, he's putting up really good numbers, and my love of basketball will improve more if he's given awards. Yeah, LeBron's probably the more valuable player.
John Morant's the next Iverson, bro. I'm telling you.
I definitely agree that he's probably the next Iverson. But I'm just saying that all these other fans need something to root for. And yes, LeBron's the best player, but he's only able to play in one city at a time. And the narrative, yes, it is a narrative. It is fake.
They got to sell more NBA league passes.
Exactly. Everyone needs to keep that hope alive. And if the hope isn't going to be that you have the best team that's going to win the championship, which you kind of know at the beginning of the season if that's going to happen for you or not, you at least have the fun of being able to see, like, well, how good are these individual players going to do? And if the league just has a built-in thing, if we're going to give it to LeBron because, yes, it's LeBron every year, you're going to bleed fans, you're going to bleed money, you're not going to be able to do the cap space you want, and you're not going to be able to have these teams be as good as they can be. Yeah, it sucks because he's the best player, but guess what? You're getting a better product by keeping it out of LeBron's hands and pretending that there's some more parity in this league, and that's my defense.
That's real, because I've always kind of thought the way they really push Luka and Giannis is really for this kind of global plan. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Exactly, like, and it is.
They're playing games in London and Africa and like before the season starts and stuff like that. So I think having a guy like Giannis who comes from Greece is like, that's good. That's good for the league, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's becoming a worldwide sport. I mean, China's like now one of the biggest like watchers of NBA basketball. It's becoming more of a global sport more than anything else. And you got to bring in more fans, and you got to do it with compelling storylines, because let's face it, NBA, there's more background drama to NBA than any other sport. You know, football is you're watching the team, but NBA, you're watching the players, and you got to keep the storylines alive. And that is how I'm going to defend it. And I think that actually tracks. But what do you think, Andrew?
I believed it. I'm with you. My defense was not as good, and I am on board. I mean, it's you're right. It's better for the business of basketball, which honestly is necessary to keep basketball going. I am perfectly willing to accept that.
Well, hell yeah.
As I get an email from NBA League Pass, to I can get 7 days free. So look at that.
Ooh.
And look who's on the picture. No LeBron. It's just Luka, James Harden, and Jimmy Butler.
Gotta keep those storylines, man.
Gotta keep those storylines.
It's a soap opera.
Well, I feel like that is a pretty efficient cover of LeBron James. I learned so much. Again, even I love these episodes because I research what I can, but I don't get it. I actually get to understand things at the end of these episodes. So I enjoy them very much. So if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us 5 stars. It helps us out so much. And also, please go listen to Niall Abson's album, Girls Don't Twerk to Jokes, and listen to Clowncast, which you can find pretty much everywhere podcasts are available. Again, it's absolutely fantastic, so go give it a listen. And we're going to be back next week with Gianmarco Cerezi to talk about therapy and where it went wrong, which is a fantastic subject with it's a wonderful thing that has an absolutely horrific history. So it's going to be really fun to get into. We hope you'll join us next week, and I'll see you next week, Gwen.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.